You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, February 6th, and this is episode 28. A couple attempts at episode 28. Some minor scheduling difficulties, so we apologize for the break in content, but Patrick and I are right back at it. My name is Andy. Hope you all are doing well. I'm joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing great. It's good to be back.
Good to be back. Exactly. So thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. If this is your first time, welcome. And You Talk podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. We produce this once a week for your enjoyment. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, etc. You can also follow us on Twitter at You Talk Podcast. So let's get right into it here. First thing we like to do is get into our Ute news topics, quick little topics and tidbits about, you know, the running Utes, basketball, and Utah football. So first is the running Utes. Northern California trip didn't go so well. Ended up losing in overtime to Cal, 77-75. And then they follow that up with a somewhat of a stinker because of some brain farts and what have you, with a loss at Stanford. And that game was quite frustrating, and that one ended 81-75 in favor of the Cardinals. So, Patrick, did you get a chance to watch either of those two games?
You know, I watched the Cal game, and just a disappointing game, disappointing loss. Yeah. You definitely should have beat that team. I didn't have a chance to watch the Stanford game. Totally forgot about that game for some reason, but probably from the Cal game, making me so mad. But yeah, just a tough trip there, California trip for the Utes. The two winnable games that they should have won.
Yeah, absolutely. Very frustrating how the Cal game ended. You know, Utah storms back in the second half, ties the game. You know, goes into overtime, and then they get quite the lucky alley-oop dunk to end the game. So, and then they followed up, like I said, with a stinker against Stanford. I unfortunately was working, so I didn't get to see it live. I watched it, but just a lot of boneheaded mistakes, and it seemed like some of the players were not there. Bonham wasn't very involved. Daniel struggled quite a bit. You know, this game or this team is very hot and cold. You know, they cannot find any sort of consistency. Teams that, you know, like Arizona and Oregon, you know, they put up a phenomenal fight and push it to the brink to the point where they almost win. And some of those games they probably should have won. And then, you know, some of these other teams like Cal and Stanford, you know, they just kind of let the guard down and, you know, got taken advantage of, and, you know, they lost the games.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can attribute that to, you know, them being kind of a young team, new faces.
Sure.
Inexperience. And I really don't think they have that. They're missing that vocal leader, that guy who can kind of pull everyone together. I don't know if Kuzma's that guy.
I don't think he is.
But they're missing that, and they need that from some of these veteran guys like Kuzma or Bonham who've been around, you know, for a couple of years. But and I think they're really missing that. They could really use a leader that steps up and gets them together and, you know, says, come on, guys, let's, you know, we're playing like crap, and let's get it together and go win this game.
Yeah. I get the feeling that Kuzma is kind of that guy when things are going well, but there's not a guy when it's going bad, you know, and that's what you need to find. So hopefully one of these guys puts it together this year and we can salvage the season. You know, if not, you know, maybe Bearfield or Daniels, one of those guys will be like, hey, this is my team. we're gonna do this my way kind of a thing and have that mentality. So we'll look forward to that in future months here. Next on our Ute news, the Utes finally hired a running backs coach, and I guess it was a couple weeks ago, but since we've been out of the podcast for a couple weeks, Kyle McDonald, formerly with Eastern Washington University, up there with Troy Taylor. Troy brings him down here to the Utah. Eastern Washington just getting picked of coaches right now.
Yeah, they lost their head coach. They lost
their offensive coordinator and their running backs coach.
Yeah, so they all went to the Pac-12 too.
Yeah. What can you tell us about Kyle McDonald, Patrick? What do you got for us?
Kyle McDonald, he comes from Eastern Washington, but as a player, he played at Arizona State for Dennis Erickson, so he has some ties to Dennis Erickson in that regard. But you know, he came onto the scene. He's said all the right things. He's helped right from day one. Once he was hired, he was out on the recruiting trail, and you know, he helped make some splashes there, getting some recruits for the Utes, helping them do that. So I'm excited to see what he can do with these running backs. I mean, I'm not, sure what the offense will look like in regards to the running game. I'm sure it's going to be different than, what we've seen, previously. But I'm excited to see what he can do. And he's had experience in Troy Taylor's offense, so
yeah,
he'll be able to tailor that to the running backs at the UTAP.
It's nice to see kind of both those coaches come over with us to the Utes. You know, you've got the offensive coordinator and you've got the running backs coach. You know, kind of lateral moves as far as position goes, but not as far as the conference goes. Definitely an upgrade in the conference. But it's nice to have, a second coach that knows Taylor's offense.
Yeah, and I mean, he comes over here, and he's got a great group of backs to work with. I mean, he's got Moss, Shine, McCormick, Devonta Henry Cole, just four solid running backs to work with, and I'm excited to see what he can do with them and see how they fit into this offense.
Absolutely. Moving right along here with our news. We'll dissect this a little bit later on in the show, but the Utes get the 25th-ranked Rivals. So top 25 recruiting class for the Utes, first time ever. And then by scout, they got the 33rd rank, which is also the highest there. So the 2017 class, as far as the ranking system goes, stars, etc., looking really good. Looking really good for us there.
Yeah, it was a great class. I was just pleasantly surprised that whole day when you kept checking Twitter, checking, getting texts from people telling you who was signing with the Utes. I thought they did great in this recruiting class, and they got a lot of good players for even this next season into the future.
Yeah, and Utah missed on a couple big names, too, that, Utah felt pretty good about. And I know that kind of put a damper on a lot of people, but we still finished with a phenomenal class, and had we been able to get those people, it would have been even better, but it doesn't, we're still going to have a phenomenal class. So these guys are going to be great.
Yeah. And fans, you can't worry about those guys that don't sign. Just worry about the guys that come. And the Utes, I know they missed out on that defensive tackle from Bingham, but look at who the Utes have on their defensive line. They always reloaded that position. They always, develop guys into NFL caliber defensive linemen. They're not going to be hurting at that position for years to come. So just worry about who comes and support them, and these coaches know how to develop talent.
Absolutely.
That's what I know.
Yeah. Appreciate those who sign with us for sure. With that, spring ball kicks off March 9th. And then the spring game, the annual red and white spring game, would be April 15th. So look forward to that. Very exciting. It'll be interesting to see how Huntley does on one team. And I'm assuming we'll probably see Jason Shelley quarterbacking the other team, as we kind of know what Troy Williams can do. I mean,
yeah.
well, Now, I say that with the caveat that now we're getting a whole new system, so maybe we will see Troy.
Yeah, and you might even see that
Cooper Bateman.
Get some time at QB in the spring.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, football's right around the corner again. It's coming up fast, and I think I'm more excited for this spring ball than any other, just to see this new offense and see the defense and see what some of these young guys can do.
Absolutely. Moving right along, the running Utes got a commit for 2017 from Donnie Tillman, 6'7", wing, currently with excuse me. He is currently with Findlay Prep in Las Vegas, which has developed players such as Dylan Brooks with Oregon, and then Alonzo Trier and Nigel Williams-Goss. So a lot of good players coming out of that prep academy in Vegas. Tillman is no different. He's a very explosive wing. He can play the defense. He can get up and down the court. He can score. Currently, he is averaging 15 points, 7 rebounds, and about shooting 65%. So he is a 4-star recruit. So it'll be very interesting to see, come signing day for the running Utes, where he fits in, if he officially signs with us. But I think he and Devin Daniels, could be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking of. That would be an exciting duo there for the future.
Absolutely.
But yeah, great pickup by Coach K and the Utes. I mean, getting a four star guy and such a talented guy such as Tillman. So that's exciting when, the running Utes are getting these kind of players again.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few years ago, they were, weren't really good.
Couldn't even field a team.
Yeah, so that's exciting. They're on the up and up, and they're just going to continue to improve each year and get better. But, yeah, Daniels and Tillman, that's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
And then even Bearfield, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Three of them could be a really fun trio to watch. So moving right along here, excuse me, that is all we've got for our Ute news. So we're going to dissect a little bit of the Running Utes California trip. We talked about it briefly. Utes lose the first game at Cal, 77-75. Utah was down pretty much the entire game. Cal was taking it to them from the get-go. Nobody could really get any offensive going. We couldn't stop anybody for the life of us. Luckily, Utes come back. They storm back, tie the game, send it into overtime. And just in overtime, it seemed like no matter what Utah did, Cal had an answer. And then, they get the final couple plays down the stretch. There were kind of some, what are you doing, head-scratching offensive calls. What was there, like a moving screen or something like that on Kuzma, I think. I don't know, just some boneheaded mistakes down the stretch. And Cal comes down, and their guard Moore tosses up a ball. And I can't remember if it was Bird or I think it was Bird with that alley-oop dunk. But needless to say, Utah kind of stumbled down the stretch again. Turnovers, a major issue, 19 to Cal's 10. Gotta get that fixed. Have to. That pulled Cal ahead in the overall rankings in the Pac-12. So Cal is currently in fourth place. Utah is sitting at sixth. So Cal right now to get the first round bye in the Pac-12 tournament. Hoping that Utah, who has beaten USC, who sits in fifth, hopefully Utah can get Cal and Stanford back when they visit in March, pass up Cal and USC and get that fourth spot for the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, it was an ugly game for the Utes, and you know, like you said, a lot of turnovers. Guys are struggling offensively. I mean, Devin Daniels, who, you know, usually steps up and is pretty good, he had a horrible game. I don't think
he did.
Even scored. But everybody was struggling. The turnover issue has been a problem all season, and it just continues to be. But that's definitely a game that the Utes let slip away. I mean, they're a better team than Cal. Hopefully, you know, they'll be able to show that here in a revenge game coming up here in March.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Utah travels not too far from Berkeley and heads over to Palo Alto and the Stanford Cardinals. Again, down the stretch, Utah making some mistakes. Again, turnovers, 17 to Stanford's 10. You know, you got to get that cleaned up. excuse me, Stanford was, you know, really, really good down the stretch, and Utah could not stop them. Utah could not hold on to the ball. The final 8 minutes, Reed Travis for Stanford, I believe, scored 13 points in the final 8 minutes. So Utah was kind of letting everybody by him. I think looking at the box score here, Ty Rawson was easily the best player for the Utes that game. He ended with 20 points and 3 rebounds, but he contributed 4 turnovers. so again, got to get that cleaned up. Kuzma, 18 and 11, so a double-double. Collette, 12 and 4 rebounds. So we need that leader. We need somebody to take control and really get involved and take charge of this team, because as Patrick said earlier, there's not really a vocal leader that takes control when things aren't going well. Whereas before, you had Wright and you had Brandon Taylor who would get in your face and, you know, pull your jersey a little bit to kind of knock some sense into you. So hopefully we see that here soon. These guys need to mature quickly and on the fly, and you know, if we can turn it around here quickly, you know, we can maybe make some noise in the Pac-12 tournament. I mean, looking at the remaining Utes schedule, it's going to be really hard to make it to the NCAA tournament. I mean, we would need to win all of our remaining games. The match or the game against Oregon next week at Oregon, if we were to win that, that would definitely boost our resume a little bit. If we lose that, but at least put up a good fight, then I think we need to win the Pac-12 tournament. If we don't, then obviously we don't get that automatic bid. We would at least need to make it to the semifinal, because at least that would put us going through either an Oregon, an Arizona, a USC, UCLA, one of those four teams that's has been ranked or ranked currently. Utah would have to get through and able to make to that semifinal. So, I mean, that would obviously help our resume a little bit too. Otherwise, we're right now looking at the NIT.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the games the Utes have won, typically, I mean, you have Collette and Kuzma who, you know, play pretty decent, score double figures. But in the games that the Utes won, they also had, you know, Daniels and Bonham and Bearfield in double figures as well. And in the, you know, their California trip, Bonham played pretty decent against Cal. I think he had like 15 points. But against Stanford, you know, Daniels struggled against Cal. Daniels struggled against Stanford. Yeah. Same with Bearfield. Bonham had the 15 against Cal, but then he struggled against Stanford. So I think if they can get a collective group of guys and in the games they've won, you know, they've had those, you know, solid five guys in double figures. And that's what I think when the Utes are at their best. But when those other guys are struggling, you know, Daniels and Bonham and Bearfield, I think that's when the Utes struggle. So if they can get those guys to be more consistent and get them playing better, then, you know, I think they can definitely win some of these games that they've been losing. So hopefully they can, you know, get it together and make a run here and, you know, hopefully maybe make, you know, the March Madness tournament or or whatnot. But I mean, I don't know if they will, but you know, there's always a chance.
It'd be nice for them to get hot right now and just win the rest of their games. I mean, now's the best time, if any. So we'll see what they can do. So that's all we've got for our recap. Obviously, no football games to recap. But let's get into our Ute Cues.
Now time for Ute Cues, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
All righty. For those of you that do not know what our Ute Cues segment is, we post questions on Twitter. We want your responses. So please pay attention and follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. You can also email us utetalk@gmail.com. Use the hashtag Ute Cues. So hashtag UTEQS. Answer the question. Give your feedback. We love to hear from you. We'll give you a shout out on the podcast and talk about your answers and give ours, and it'll be a good time. So getting right into it, because we had kind of a short turnaround or scheduling issues with the podcast the last couple of weeks, we've got one question up there right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this year's recruiting class for the Utes? One current response, and again, we just posted this not too long ago, but Skier Elmo at Skier Elmo responded with an 8.5 out of 10 for this year's recruiting class. Patrick, how do you feel about that? What are your thoughts on the recruiting class as far as on a scaling system there?
I think it's good. I was thinking, you know, 8 or 9. I would give them an 8 or 9, just because I want to see how some of these guys come in and how they pan out. So, you know, I think that's a fair comparison. I do think it's, you know, probably the best recruiting class that the Utes have had. 2016 is right up there as well.
Yeah.
So just back to back, they've had great recruiting classes, and so I'm excited to see how these guys, these junior college guys that they got, who I think are going to be great players and can come in and contribute right away. And even some of these high school guys they signed can, you know, come in and possibly contribute as well. So I'd probably say between an 8 and a 9 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see the freshmen come in and have success. Because obviously that gets future incoming freshmen excited. Like, oh, hey, so-and-so did it. I can come in and I can do it too, you know. And then same thing on the JUCO route, you know, a lot of those guys coming in, Garrett Bowles, you know, one of them, huge season, you know, and he's going to be a great NFL player. And, you know, that just bodes well for future junior college transfers coming to the U.
Yeah, I mean, the Utes have always had great success with JUCO players. I mean, they always bring them in. They always, you know, most of them are fairly solid contributors, or, you know, or even players like, you know, Devontae Booker or mm-hmm. Garrett Bowles or, you know, Tevin Carter, people that come in and, you know, make a name for themselves. So I'm excited to see what these JUCO players that they did get this season can come in and do, because they definitely got some good players.
Absolutely. Very excited for this recruiting class. So let's move along here. That's all we've got for our Ute Cues segment for today. So at Skier Elmo, thank you for your participation. Again, we usually try and post those early Monday morning, give you the whole day to think about it, respond. And you know, we talk about it when we do the podcast later on Monday night. So, we'll definitely get the questions out there earlier next time for sure. So bear with us. Moving right along, though, we're going to get into the breakdown of the Washington schools. So we've got Washington State and Washington coming to the Huntsman Center. So you got Washington State on the 9th, which is Thursday. That game is at 7 p.m. On the Pac-12 networks. Excuse me. And so if you look at Washington here, we beat Washington, or excuse me, if you look at Washington State, we beat Washington State just a couple weeks ago, pretty handedly. Go ahead.
By like 40, then.
Yeah. Yeah, it, let's see here. 88-47 was the score there, and that was in Pullman. Now, Utah is going to be coming off of a very rough road trip there in Northern California. Look for these guys to come out angry, come out mad. You know, that they kind of got humiliated a little bit, you know, with how poorly they played. Definitely showed some of the flaws that this team has right now. But in that game against Washington State, you had Kuzma with 19 points, 11 rebounds. Bonham was 17. Bearfield and Beeler both had 10 in that game. Jace Johnson coming out offensively there with 9 points. It was great to see that. Rawson, Parker Van Dyke also with 9. And Collette, let's see, I don't think Collette played that one, if I remember right. Yeah, I think he sat out. Yeah. Really, I mean, really for Washington State, their best player is Josh Hawkinson. He's been around the program for a couple of years now. He's a solid player. You know, he plays well in that game. He put up 19 points, 13 rebounds. So he's a good contributor. Just have to make sure that we lock him down. But Utah should win this game pretty handily on our home floor. If we can beat them by, you know, 41 on theirs, we should beat them, you know, by just as much on our home floor.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is a game. I mean, even though the Utes haven't been playing very well as of late, they beat them by 40 without Collette. Everybody got some playing time in that game, so yeah. Hopefully they can do it again and get some of those bench guys some more playing time this time. But I don't think, you know, Washington State poses much of a threat for the Utes, especially at the Huntsman Center.
Yeah, absolutely. So that game, look forward to that one. That one, again, is Thursday night, February 9th, 7 p.m., Pac-12 Networks. Excuse me. Next one on the list is Saturday, and I will have you all know, Saturday is my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
February 11th. So, yeah, turning 31. So if you feel like tweeting me happy birthday, at FatManAndy, PHATMANANDY, looking for those happy birthday tweets, thank you.
Going to the game on your birthday?
Unfortunately, I had to work on my birthday. Oh, so, you know, we'll see what we have planned. But I had to work that day, so I'll be off later that night. Hopefully some dinner and movie or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So Utah hosts the Huskies also. Saturday, that game is at 2:30 p.m. So hoping for a birthday win. You know, I guess we get to hear everybody's favorite player.
Fultz.
Apparently that's, you know, all the hype right now is Fultz and Lonzo Ball. I can't imagine what the game between Washington and UCLA was like the other day. But Fultz is a good player. You know, you gotta hand it to him. In the previous matchup. Oh, let's see here. Maybe.
Collette didn't play against the Huskies either. So,
okay.
It's another game where Utes were able to win without him. So, even having him is going to be a plus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in that game, Utah won 94-72. So, a 22-point win. Kuzma with 22 and 15. Daniels had a phenomenal game. And, man, we just need some need him to get back to that. 24 points, 3 assists, 6 rebounds. Bonham, also 24 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds. So, great production out of 3 players right there. And Fultz, he had 30 points, 4 assists, 7 rebounds. So, he's pretty much their main guy. You know, if we can shut him down or make things a little bit difficult for him, you know, we should win pretty easily. Again, I'm not too worried about this one. Utah should be able to handle the Huskies, you know, here at the Huntsman Center. Go ahead. You have something to say?
I was just going to say, you know, if you don't want to hear Fultz's name every 5 seconds, just listen to, you know, Bill Riley's call or whatnot.
There you go. He'll be making fun of it, too. So, but yeah, Utah, Huntsman Center, FS1, Saturday, February 11th, 2:30 p.m. Be there or be square. But, you know, hoping for a birthday win. You should win that one. I think they get back to their winning ways. We should be able to sweep the Washington schools both home and away this year.
Yeah, hoping Devin Daniels breaks out of his funk in this game. And, you know, he typically gets up for these big games and has huge games. So hopefully he'll get up for this one and get out of his rut and have a great game. And, you know, with Collette back in the lineup for this Washington game, since he didn't play last time against Washington, I think that's only going to help the Utes. So I think they should have a clean sweep of the Washington schools.
Absolutely. So moving right along here, this is our final topic of the day for Ute Talk. We are going to discuss the 2017 recruiting class. And again, I mentioned earlier, so Rivals has us ranked as the 25th ranked class. Number one would be Alabama. I don't think that ever changes. Ohio State, 2, Georgia, 3, Michigan, 4, Florida State, 5, USC, 6, Oklahoma, 7, LSU, 8, Florida, 9, Texas A&M, 10, Miami of Florida, 11, Penn State, 12, Notre Dame, 13, Auburn, 14, Tennessee, 15th, South Carolina, 16, Maryland, 17. I feel like that one's kind of a shocker. Yeah. Wouldn't expect that out of Maryland,
no.
You know, because they haven't been very successful.
No, that's, yeah.
Oregon, 18, Stanford, 19, Nebraska, 20. UCLA, 21, Clemson, 22, Washington, 23, Arkansas, 24, and Utah, 25. So you've got Utah, Washington, UCLA, Stanford, and Oregon. So that would be, and then USC. So you got 6 Pac-12 teams in the top 25 recruiting.
Wow.
That I didn't really look at that until now, and that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's
that. I mean, to me, that just shows
conference. Yep.
Yeah, to me, that just shows that the Pac-12 is starting to get some recognition a little bit. You know, people are starting to look into some of those other schools, such as Washington, Utah. You know, they're not going for the powerhouses of, you know, USC, Oregon, and Stanford as of years late. So. Great to see 6 Pac-12 teams in the top 25. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage. So we'll see what Utah can do with it. The class is a little small, 20 recruits total. I feel like, I mean, the top 25, let's see, we have Stanford has 14 in their class. Clemson has 14, UCLA has 18, Washington 18. So I guess Utah's all right at 20. You know, USC 23. So I thought we were a little low. Maybe we're not as low as I thought, but 20 total commitments for the Utes. And I'm going to let Patrick dive into it, but we've got 4 4-stars according to Rivals, which is pretty darn awesome. looking at the scout. Utah ended up on scout as the 33rd rank, which is still phenomenal. And according to scout, we have 6 4-stars, 14 3-stars. So a little differences there in the classes. But Patrick, I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the class? Who's kind of your sleeper? Who are you excited about, or who's going to be that breakout guy, you know, that really wows everybody in this class? You know, and if you want to break it down by position, by all means, go for it. But I want to hear your perspective here on this.
No, I'm excited about this class. There's a lot of great players in this class, JUCO players, high school players assigned, just a lot of great talent in this class. And the Utes hit spots where they knew they were going to be thin, such as, you know, defensive back. You know, they essentially lost all, you know, they lost Hatfield, Allen, Porter, Justin Thomas, Marcus Williams. So they hit that defensive back spot hard, and they brought in some heavy hitters at the defensive backfield. I mean, Corian Ballard, a safety, I think he's going to be a special player. I think he could definitely jump right in there at free safety and start right away.
Take over for Williams.
Yeah, I mean, Tariq Lewis at the corner spot, a JUCO player. Jalen Johnson, who's supposed to be just a special talent. You know, everybody was high on him and, you know, worried that he was going to sign somewhere else. So I'm glad he stuck with the Utes because I think he's going to be good. Just a confident kid. I listened to him on do some interviews and stuff on signing day, and just a confident player and wants to come in and make a name for himself. They hit it hard at the receiver spot as well in this new offense. I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of movement, you know, as far as substitutions goes, just because it's such a high, supposed to be such a high paced, fast offense. You're going to see a lot of guys coming in and out. So, you know, they hit the receiver position hard. They got a gem in, you know, is it Thompson?
Yeah,
Brian Thompson. who was a Boise State commit. I think he's going to be good. Tyquez Hampton, I think, is going to be good. Jalen Dixon, who's Jason Shelley's teammate.
Yep.
Not the biggest guy, but, you know, he's definitely going to be a special player in the slot.
Another little Covey player.
Yeah, and Covey will be back next season. They're going to have some major talent in that slot with, you know, Simpkins and Dixon and Covey, and just so they hit the receiver position hard. Defensive tackle or the defensive line, they got some good signings there as well. They got a great running back in TJ Green. I think he'll come in and, you know, he might not get a lot of playing time this season, but he's going to make a name for himself.
He's got a lot ahead of him on the depth chart, but yeah, he's a good player.
I mean, he was like the number one running back in Arizona, so
yeah,
I think he's going to be a special player as well. But yeah, I mean, offensive line, they got some good players there. And then, you know, I just think they got a really special class, a lot of great athletes, a lot of good talent. I'm excited to see what these guys can come in and do.
Absolutely. Who's kind of your sleeper out of this class? Who do you think is going to be that breakout player from day one? It's going to get, you know, loads of playing time, make a huge impact. What are your thoughts?
You know, after signing day was over, they got a commit from another JUCO guy, Derek Vickers. He's kind of like he's an athlete, but he could play, you know, running back. He plays slot. He could play receiver. I think he's going to come in and make a name for himself. He's just got a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. He could, you know, even be on kick returns, punt returns, or whatnot. I think he's going to be good. Another guy that I think is going to come in and, you know, make a name for themselves, Corian Ballard, I think will definitely make a name for himself. And I'm excited for Jalen Johnson, just to kind of see what he can do. He wants to come in and start right away as a freshman, so he definitely is going to come in and compete. There's going to be a lot of competitions in spring and even into fall that are going to be exciting to watch, because, you know, the Utes have two corners who, you know, are young in Burgess and Blackman, who got some playing time last year. But they were, you know, Blackman counted for this year's class, but they're a part of last year's class and they're supposed to be, you know, talented as well. So the Utes just reloading on, you know, that the defensive backfield to go along with a tough defensive line. Linebackers should be a year better. So the defense, I think the defense is in good hands. So
are you worried about the linebacking core? I mean, we didn't really recruit. Well, we did recruit linebackers, but we didn't really get a whole lot. I know there's a JUCO guy, I believe, coming in. Did he sign?
Are you thinking? I know that someone's transferring from Arizona.
Let's see. Yeah, Cody
Ippolito. I don't know how much he'll play. He's had some injuries issues. But
somebody else. Last name was an S, I believe. I can't remember. Maybe we didn't get him. But you got Marquise Blair coming in at the linebacker position. Currently only the known linebacker on the group. Not sure if we can convert somebody else, but you know, you said the linebacking core is going to be a year more of experience. Are you comfortable with where we stand on the linebackers?
I mean, I think, you know, Tatioli had his moments last season. You know, Barton, you know, he was inconsistent, but he, you know, you can't knock the guy for trying. He was always around the tackles, or, you know, he worked his butt off. I think Luafata Saga got better as the season went on.
Yeah, he started to kind of pick up things.
You know, they do have Donovan Thompson there as well.
Yes.
You have Devere Hamilton, who, you know, two good
young, wants to play.
Yeah, two good young linebackers. You know, I would have liked to seen him recruit some linebackers. I think Marquise Blair, I know they put him at linebacker there. I think he played in junior college. He played safety, more safety.
Yeah.
But he's someone who could step up. I think if some of these guys pan out at the safety spot, you could even see him, you know, move Chase Hansen up to linebacker. He would be a great linebacker as well.
Yeah.
He has the size for it. Maybe puts on a little bit more muscle, more weight. But, you know, I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to find guys on this defense who can play and who can contribute. And I think their defense will be solid again. I mean, their defensive line is going to be excellent next season with, you know, Lowell and Flip and Kylie Fitz. And then, you know, they have all those young guys, Anai, who, you know, definitely can start right away. So I think their defense is going to be really good next year. So
is there any sort of weakness that you see in the recruiting class?
I mean, I don't know if there's any real weakness. I would have loved to see him. I don't know if they got, you know, I know they were shooting to get a tackle, to kind of maybe a JUCO tackle to fill in for Bulls. I don't know if they got that. I know they got some guards, you know, but
let's see, because they got Orlando Umana.
Yeah.
And he's more of a guard, right?
Yeah, I think he played guard.
Richardson, he was a tackle.
Yeah, he's a little bit on the smaller side, 260. He needs to put some meat on his bones there.
Absolutely. Yeah, any of these Hawaii guys? I guess he's a defensive end, but
yeah. I mean, they have Mo Unitoa. I think he's more of a guard.
Ford, I believe they were going to move him to the defensive end too.
Ford, yeah. I think Ford is, they're going to move Ford to the
line.
The defensive line. That guy's huge. So
yeah.
He'd be a good defensive lineman. But I think that, you know, was something they were hoping to get, and I don't know if they got a tackle out of.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they were hoping for a Jay from Bingham, and actually a source that I know seemed like, you know, about a week before signing day, he was leaning towards Utah. So I'm not sure what changed in that final week, but you know, he ended up signing with USC. So kind of frustrating, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been good to get him, but I mean, the Utes have a lot of young talent on that defensive line. I mean, Lucky Fotu, just a lot of young talent that they got in last year's class on the D-line. So I think they'll be fine and along there in years to come. But overall, I mean, just a good signing class, and they filled the void, they filled their needs, you know, in the positions where they, you know, were kind of left thin at. And I'm glad Jason Shelley stuck to his commitment and committed to the U and followed through all the way. So that shows his character, and I think he's going to be a special player for the Utes as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that should be a very exciting class. A lot of speed, a lot of talent, a lot of raw talent in some of these guys, and kind of following almost the Oregon model of getting speed and athleticism on the outside edges and just playmakers. You know, now that you got an offense like Troy Taylor's offense, all those pieces start to fit into place, and you could have a very explosive offense really quick.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what his offense is all about. I mean, I didn't follow Eastern Washington, so I
haven't you seen didn't?
Any of their games. But I'm excited to see what he can do with, you know, the Utes' talent and see how different the offense is and see, you know, if it really is going to be high paced, high octane, because we've heard that in the past. And, but
I feel like it's always like, oh, this year there's going to be no huddles and we're going to snap the ball within 10 seconds and this or that. And then it's like you're screaming and yelling at your TV or from the stands because you got 1 second on the play clock left. So hopefully it is a high octane, high speed offense. That's what I'm looking forward to. Well, that's all that I have. Patrick, do you have anything else you want to cover? Anything we missed?
No, that's good. Getting back into it and spring ball around the corner. It's going to be getting more exciting. So,
absolutely. Again, spring ball kicks off on March 9th. We'll get down there and get some coverage, talk to some of the guys, and you know, try and get some interviews or, you know, whatever we can. Tweet us. Let us know who you want interviewed, and we'll try and get that done for you. So again, thank you for listening to Ute Talk. excuse me. From our audio engineer Marty, Patrick, and I am Andy. We will see you next time, and as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.